Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're beginning a two-week sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit known as kindness. Kindness is a virtue that is universally loved, and it is also universally needed. No one has ever come up to me and said, you know, Pastor, what's wrong with the world today? There's too much kindness. Lots of people have talked to me about how hard the world is, how uncaring the world is, how much selfishness there's today. And I think all of us to a degree, we need more kindness. Acts of kindness bring joy and happiness to people, both to the person who does them and the person who receives the benefit from them. And small acts of kindness can make a big difference in people's lives. Think of the times a person impacted your life, some kind words or a listening ear or maybe some help at a really difficult time. Kindness is amazing. It can make such a difference. Today we're going to talk about kindness, what it is, and how God is kind to us. So let's start with the definition. What is kindness? First of all, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's number 5 on the list of these 9 great virtues. It's right in the middle of all of them, right? It also appears in Paul's list of the aspects of love in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, love is patient, love is kind. Number 2 on the list there. So it's connected to love. It's an aspect of it. Love being the big picture word, the word that sums up all of Christian morality, right? Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourself. Everything that a Christian should think, say, or do can be summed up in one word, love. Patience and kindness get more specific. They are specific aspects of love. Patience, of course, means being slow to anger. If you love someone, you'll be slow to anger with them and patient with them. But what about kindness? What does that mean? Well, the root word of kindness in Greek means useful or helpful. And I think that shows us what kindness really is. Kindness is all about helping other people, not focusing just on your own needs, but focusing on the needs of others as well. Kindness always asks, what can I do to help? Right? Notice, kindness is not some great intellectual theory that a bunch of professors thought of somewhere locked in an ivory tower. Kindness is incredibly practical. It is something all Christians can do, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. All we have to do is ask the question or think the question. What can I do to help in this situation? And that will inevitably lead you to acts of kindness. Acts of kindness can be anything that helps someone else. There's literally an infinite amount of opportunities to do this. It can be holding the door for someone, helping someone with their groceries, saying a kind word, helping a friend move, praying for someone's needs, or volunteering to help with VBS. There's no limit to the amount of opportunities to practice kindness. Literally, the opportunities are everywhere. I think it's helpful in understanding virtues to also understand the opposite of that virtue. For instance, the opposite of peace is anxiety. The opposite of being patient is being hot-tempered. And the opposite of kindness, well, is selfishness. Selfishness is thinking only about your own needs and not about the needs of others. Now, it's okay to think of your own needs. The Bible tells us to do that. It's sinful, though, to only think of your own needs and ignore the needs of others. Everyone should not only look to his own needs, but also to the needs of others, is what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2. All of us have sinful natures, and our sinful natures are pure selfishness. That's why we all struggle with selfishness. We all need the Holy Spirit's help to overcome our sinful nature and our natural selfishness. We are not naturally kind. You and I are naturally selfish. Selfishness comes easy. Kindness, that's a little harder. And we have to keep that in mind because it's a battle to overcome our own sinful nature, and we can't do it by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us through word and sacrament so that we might overcome the sinful, selfish nature. And one of the ways the Holy Spirit does that is to remind us that God is kind to us. We love because God first loved us. We forgive because God forgave us. And we are kind because God is kind to us. So let me share with you three facts about the kindness of God. Number one, point two, the kindness of God helps us. All over the Bible tells us that the Lord is someone who helps us every day. Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Psalm 121, verse 1. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Bible makes it clear. God is in your side. God is on your side, and God wants to help you. What does God's kindness look like? In Luke 6, Jesus shows us what the kindness of God looks like. God loves people even when they hate him. God does good to everyone, whether they thank him or not. And God gives generously and expects nothing in return. Now, God doesn't just do that for the people who love him. Jesus makes that clear. He does it for everyone. God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, Luke 6:35. Or as Matthew 5:25 puts it, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends his rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. And he doesn't just do this once in a while. He does it every single day. Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God loves everyone. God is kind to everyone, good or evil, believer or unbeliever. But the greatest kindness of God is found not in nature, but in the salvation which he gives to those who believe in him. The kindness of God saves us. Number three. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3, 4, and 5. God helps us in the most important way possible by saving us from our own sin and selfishness. Because of our sin and selfishness, we have earned for ourselves nothing but death, physical and eternal death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And we cannot get ourselves out of this situation. So God, in his incredible kindness, helps us. You've probably heard the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. Many people mistakenly believe that comes from the Bible. That doesn't come from the Bible. It comes from Benjamin Franklin. It comes from Poor Richard's Almanac. I love Ben Franklin. Great man, great American hero to be sure. But his theology in this case was 100% wrong. God helps us because we can't help ourselves. It's not 50-50. When it comes to salvation, God does it all, 100% of it. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his own mercy, right? God does not save us because of the good we've done. He saves us because he is kind. And here Paul specifically mentions baptism as the means of grace that God uses to accomplish our salvation. He saved us by the washing of rebirth and regeneration in the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a holy washing of rebirth and renewal done entirely by the Holy Spirit. Today we witnessed that miracle happening for Nellie. Baptism is God's gift of salvation. It is his means of grace. And it is all entirely motivated out of his incredibly rich kindness, his fatherly goodness and mercy. And that's our last point. The kindness of God is rich. Number four, the kindness of God is rich. Ephesians 2:7. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of you know Ephesians 2:8-9 by heart, and that's awesome because it's an amazing verse on salvation by grace through faith. But right before Ephesians 2:8-9 is an equally amazing verse. It's called Ephesians 2:7. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The NIV uses the word incomparable. ESV uses the immeasurable riches of God's kindness and grace. Also a great word. You get the idea. The riches of God's grace and kindness are incomparable, immeasurable, overwhelming, overflowing from the throne of God and into our lives. We are blessed with abundant mega spiritual riches. God's plan for you is that you experience the full, immeasurable, incomparable riches of his grace and kindness, not just for a few years, not just for a few decades, not just for a few centuries, but for all of eternity with him in heaven. This is what we will experience day after day as we go home to be with the Lord. We can't possibly understand the full measure of God's love, God's grace, and God's kindness. But as we continue to grow and live in him, each day we become more and more aware of it. Only through the work of the Holy Spirit can we even begin, with our tiny little minds, to begin to understand how incredibly rich and how incredibly we are blessed by God's kindness. We have been blessed with many physical blessings, and we are grateful for all of them and should be. But we've been blessed with even greater spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, the incomparable riches of God's grace, God's love, and God's kindness. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.